Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Serious Issues, a comic book podcast hosted by two other greats. My name is Andrew Levins.
My name is Siobhan Coombs.
And we are the greats.
Yep, and that's how I describe myself.
Every
time I walk through a door, yep.
We're going to be reviewing a bunch of comics for you. This is Siobhan and I's first time seeing each other over Zoom in about a month.
I know, it's been a minute, huh?
Yeah, but thanks
so
much.
It also feels like no time. Sorry.
time doesn't exist in 2020. It's just this weird thing.
Yep.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
But yes, thanks to was it Jake and Rebecca?
Yep, Jake and Rebecca holding down the fort. We did a X-Men. I can't remember what the event was called. What was it called? Empire.
Empire.
We're going to do that this week. So we did Empire. Yeah. So last week, Siobhan, having not read any superhero comics for about half a year, I read all of Empire and all of its spin-offs.
That is not a good reintroduction to superhero comics.
I mean, there was
good?
Sure. There was some. There was some good. Good tie-ins. The X-Men
Billy
tie-in.
And Teddy got married or whatever.
Yeah, that was great. That's what it should have been called. Billy and Teddy get married or whatever. The event. Because all of the whatever was whatever, exactly. But the Billy and Teddy stuff was really good. And the X-Men tie-in for Empire was excellent.
Good.
So we finished that. We went through all of our...
I read bits of that. Sorry.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Yes, that was good.
But we went through all of our... favorite and least favorite Marvel events throughout time, which I'm sure... Do you want to quickly weigh in on that at all?
My favorite Marvel event is probably the Hickman one. What is it?
Yeah.
Secret Wars. There we go. Thanks, Nate.
Yep. We did Secret Wars.
The worst one is probably Civil War 2.
Yeah, cool. It's exactly the same thing I said, so well done. You would have brought nothing new to the discussion. Excellent. It's so funny. We're all such Hickman dorks, huh?
He's good, though, man. What do you want? For me to pretend he's not good? Might make better podcasts.
There's going to be none of that on this episode, because after we did all of Empire and the event stuff, Jake and Rebecca essentially talked me into reading every single X-Men comic again. And so the bulk of my week has just been me catching up on X-Books.
I have, fallen off a bunch of X-Books, but not because I want to, but because I'm too tired. But they're very good. Across the board, I think there's a pretty high standard in the X-Books.
Yeah, so I want to talk about, obviously you do too, the big X-Men kind of event, not really event, mostly like a weekly series that ties in all of the X-Books.
Everyone gets a sword.
It's like 11 parts, I think. It's called Ten of Swords.
Yes.
And the first issue of that came out this week. It was written by Jonathan Hickman and Teenie Howard, with art by one of my favorite names. Pepe Larraz, the Pepster. And look, this makes me remember a good time when Pepe Larraz was the artist on the weekly Avengers books, the names of which completely escaped me, but they were a good time.
And, that was a good time.
This seems to be an even better time because, X of Swords came out, and I guess having Hickman write the first, co-write this with another great writer, Teenie Howard, it doesn't feel like this is just some crass money grab. It feels like, oh no, it's been building towards this. This is just another great story that that he wanted to tell, and now others are going to help him tell it.
And it's full of all the classic Hickman stuff that you want. Some, like, vaguely Egyptian gods, some family problems.
Not a single recognizable X-Men character show up front for about half the issue.
That's what I want.
Weird people throughout space and time showing up to punch the characters in the head or have a long discussion with them. You choose.
Yeah. That's what you want. That is basically all superhero comics. Someone has come from a long way away to either punch you in the head or have a long chat.
And it will be darkly funny sometimes. Mm-hmm. Do you want to describe the rough plot of X of Swords?
No. Swords.
I don't think it's pronounced X of Swords either. I think it's Ten of Swords.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, Roman numerals and all. Ten of Swords.
Tarot.
Stop emailing us saying, actually, it's Ten of Swords, because I realized that. So now you can go back and patch in me saying Ten every time I've said X. Even when I said X-Men.
Email me, because I'm just going to keep saying X of Swords.
I'm gonna start calling X-Men Ten Men now.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. That's what they are. It's Ten Men.
The rules. Ten Factor, Ten Force. That's good. Ten Stinction. What happened in Ten of Swords, Siobhan Coombs?
I went on the Marvel website to try and find a description, and it just says, Chapter 1, a tower, a mission, a gathering of armies. So there you go, that's what happened. For crying out loud?
Well, it's about kind of Apocalypse's family.
That was genuinely surprised when he was like, they're my children. That was a good surprise. Yeah. I thought that was good.
Well, I mean, you'd be like that.
Yeah, of course I would.
If you haven't seen your children for millennia, and then
oh my goodness.
You meet them.
But imagine how well rested I'd be.
So this kind of builds back on something that was brought up in the original Hickman, what are those six issues called? Powers of X and
Hoxpox.
The other thing of X. Yep. House of X. So Krakoa, which all the X-Men live on now, was originally another word that starts with O. A rocker
and then
or something?
Araco? Isn't that like the other
side? It split into two because it was hit with one of the ten swords. And it became Krakoa and Araco. And so Apocalypse, he remembers when it was just one. And so he wants to return to that because he's been split away from his family. And so he's opened a gate from Krakoa to Morocco. He's in Morocco. he's eating tagines.
Lovely.
There's crazy shit happening over in Morocco. And he's like, I don't care what the rest of you X-Men say. I want to go there. And Krakoa, the weird planet thing that they all live on now, he's all for it too. He wants to be reunited with his old buddy, Morocco.
Yeah, and they're like, you need to shut down this gate. And Krakoa's like, leave the gate.
Fun cryptic symbols. This is a book that I can't wait for my son to read because he is just a crazy person who can memorize codes now.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Last
That's so
night,
cool.
I heard when I was driving for about 40 minutes, I just heard him murmuring numbers behind me and tapping his fingers. And I was like, Archie, what are you doing? And he said, oh, your friend John taught me how to count in binary. So I said, I was like, what number are you up to? And he said, 3,000.
God, Archie's so smart. You got to give him that Squirrel Girl. He'd be about
the binary
good age
one.
Squirrel Girl, right?
Yeah, I think so, definitely, for sure. Especially because I think he'll love a superhero comic that doesn't solve problems with punching. Instead, it's like, we've got to work together and use maths.
Yeah, and the power of friendship and talking things out. Lovely.
But mostly maths.
My kids also... Shatterstar's been really into, All Year Comics, those guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, All Year.
So they do all these, like, kids ones that are, like, superpower, but it's, like, DC superheroes, basically. They have, like, a bunch of different ones. So it's, like, the Superman family adventures and stuff like that.
Art Balthazar, is that his name?
And Franco.
Yeah. So they started out with Tiny Titans. I have a run they did called Itty Bitty Hellboy.
Yep, exactly.
They're still doing DC stuff.
he loves Tiny Titans, but he also loves, like, Superman Family Adventures and stuff like that. And they have, like, Kryptonian code all throughout it. And they're really clever and they're really sweet and there's not that much violence. So maybe Archie would get into those as well.
Yeah, I just think
he's a bit too old for them.
Hickman loves inventing his own language, which is essentially, it's still English, but he just likes making weird symbols to represent letters in the English language. And putting them in almost all of his comics. And I just know that, like, Archie would have memorized that alphabet by the end of Hox Pox. And so now whenever, because I see it and I just go, oh, I assume he's just, like, being rude.
Some bullshit, yeah.
Some bullshit. He's talking about the way things were. But he would know, like, oh, he'd be like, oh, he just called Cyclops a prick, Dad.
I like this version of Cyclops so much. The Hickman version of Cyclops.
Yeah, like,
I think it
weirdly
works so much better.
Quiet and confident.
Yeah. Just loves his wife, loves his children.
Loves Cable.
Loves Cable.
Young Cable rocks up and is like, "Mom, Dad." Like, it feels I just forget that's who that is. Like, he's
I know.
That's their kid.
It's good fun. Good family adventures.
He once was an old man, but now he's somebody's child. So, Apocalypse leads a team. Because I was always wondering, like, you know, obviously Hickman is going to plan something crazy, having Apocalypse be such a big part of the X team now. And that said, I'm also looking forward to when we get a big Mr. Sinister arc. Like, obviously,
yes,
Hickman doing something fun with that is going to be awesome. But yeah, I mean, Apocalypse essentially being reunited with his long lost children and them being, like, fucking evil as shit now. And, like,
yeah,
you know, they see him as weak. This is going to be fun. So, yeah, I think X of Swords is going to be, like, part, like, contest. Like, basically, like, the X-Men have to send the strongest Krakoans to come and fight Apocalypse's children, basically, in this weird realm.
It's kind of Secret Warsy, but not really.
Yeah.
Some off-world battles taking place.
There's a bunch of swords, 10 of them in total. We see tarot cards that include multiple X members wielding them at one point. Apocalypse, Wolverine, I think Magic, I don't know. And then you're thinking, oh, cool, you know, it's going to be a big battle with swords. That'll be fun. And then one of the coolest things that happened in Empire is that Abigail Brand of Sword shows up and crashes the wedding. And she socks Captain Marvel in the face. And she's
nice.
Like, Alpha Flight is done, bitch. And I love Abigail Brand. Always have. I was kind of like, oh, shit, what's this leading to? And then she shows up. Well, I mean, she doesn't show up in this, but X of Swords, the big reveal, like Cyclops and his family of Jean Grey and young, what's his name? Young
Baby Cable.
Baby Cable. They go to find this, like, thing in some place, and Baby Cable shoves his sword into the thing in some place, and then it turns on the sword base, which is where Abigail Brand works, but it's been abandoned and it's in a state of quarantine. It's everything's gone on offline. I don't know what's going on, but I guess this is going to be X of, like, 10 of swords, and also the swords has full stops between all the letters, because it's also
involved. There's so
sword.
Many kinds of sword involved in this story. All the kinds of sword you can imagine, man.
What if it's actually 10 swords, like, as in the group? So there's 10 Abigail Brands now.
No, I think that's unlikely.
It's cool, too, because, like, even though Abigail Brand has kind of become, like, a greater Marvel cosmic character, she wasn't originally introduced in Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men run. She dated Beast for a while. Yeah, that's right. Did you say Stump?
I did. I said Stump, but...
Stump. Put an M in there, I reckon. Stump.
Yeah, Stump.
Stump.
Sounds like a German word now.
I got one time... Like, I was, like, a kid in high school and working in a retail store on the weekends, and someone was, like, talking about, like, going to a bar and meeting a girl, and then my coworker goes, "Did you stoink her?"
Awful.
Yeah. I love that's your, like, disgusting stump a-okay.
Stump is fine. Stoink, no thank you.
We used to have a restaurant chain in Australia called the Black Stump, reopen it and call it the Black Stump.
Yeah, and it's just exclusively for Tinder dates.
Yeah, perfect.
But everything's in the dark. Yes.
Excellent. All the steaks are cooked to well done, and it's in the and you eat them in the dark.
I think that would very be romantic. Really well.
So yeah, that's our awful explanation of what happened in X of Swords.
Yeah, you tell us what happened in that. For crying out loud.
Ten of Swords, creation number one.
It's good though. I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it.
Hell yeah, man. It was so much
fun.
Looking
forward to more. Yeah.
You're kind of like, okay, cool, it's going to be an X-Men event. And then like you're like, who are these people for 30 pages or whatever, however long it takes for Hickman to actually put some mutants in the story. But yeah. Then all these things are happening at once. I think you can hear Teeny Howard's voice in a lot of the dialogue. It's a fun team. I mean, I love the idea of these Hickman-led mutant meetings that all the X-writing staff are having right now. It's cool.
It does look cute. And it looks like I think that there's such a... I just think that the X books are the only kind of doing it right superhero... Like, I mean, I think there's other good superhero books at the moment, don't get me wrong, but, like, the way that they're doing the shared universe just seems so much more in sync than anywhere else. I was in at King's the other day, and I talked to a customer who I hadn't seen for a while, and I was like, oh, are you enjoying the X books? Because he's, like, a big X-Men fan. And he goes, yes, I love what Hickman's done. It's very bold. And I was like, that's a great way of putting it, because it is bold. It's just, like, taking all the things that we like about X-Men, and kind of all the things we like about superhero comics, and all the things that we take as granted anyway. Like, death doesn't mean anything. Now that's explicit. I'm just going to do, which version of the character do you like best? That's the version that it is now. Done. And it's, like, nice to have that kind of just be the way it is, and we don't have to find all these stupid loopholes to bring people back from the dead.
Yeah, and Gold Balls is at the centre of it.
And Gold Balls is at the centre of it. That's all I've ever wanted. The best mutant of all time.
The only good Marvel creation that Bendis created. Gold Balls.
Is he really a Bendis creation? I thought he was, like, a Jason Aaron one.
Pretty sure. No, I think he showed. Yeah, I think he first showed up in Bendis's excruciating X-Men run with the time displaced
called.
X-Men. He was on Cyclops's ten cruciating. he was on the because there was X-Men and then whatever the other one was, the one that Cyclops like splits from the team and then starts raising his own young mutants, and he was one of Cyclops's young mutants. So Ten of Swords continues next week in X Factor. The week after that, we have three issues coming out. So it's not even like a week. I was like, oh, cool. It's like, you know, going to happen over 11 weeks. But yeah, we get X Factor next week. Then the week after that, it's continued. Chapter 3, 4, and 5 are Wolverine 6, X Force 13, and Marauders 13. Then chapter 6, 7, 8 are Hellions 5, New Mutants 13, and Cable 5. And then 9, 10, 11 are Excalibur 13 and X-Men 13, which come out on October 21st, and then it finishes October 28th in Ten of Swords Stasis number one.
I mean, that's kind of self-contained.
Sure, it does. Yeah, it's very quick. It's done in it's finished in a month. It's just a one month long event.
Great.
That's good.
Good.
Yeah. So at the moment of these series, I am I'm more caught up on X-Men and loving it. I've read all of Leah Williams's X Factor. Have you been reading that?
No. I sort of read the first issue and then have kind of fallen off.
The first issue was probably my least favorite, and it did get slightly better. Man, I want to love everything Leah Williams does, because the things that I have loved of hers, I have like adored. Like the she did that magic, like was it like a What If one shot?
The one issue that was great.
That's like one of my favorite X-Men issues ever. And did she do the Emma Frost one shot at around the same time? Yeah.
Yep. Sonya Deja Thoris crossover she did was so brilliant.
They were both really great. But then all of her, whenever she starts, gets a main book, I'm like, ugh. Like it's, I mean, to her, in her defense, it's never with characters that I actually like.
Yeah.
Because who's the X-Factor team is insane. It's like, it's Eye Boy, North Star, Polaris, Dakin, Prodigy, Prestige, Eye Boy, Aurora, and Kyle. Who's Kyle? that's his mutant name. I don't remember. I've apparently read all of these, and I don't know who Kyle is.
Are you? Yeah, what are your favorites? I think Excalibur's pretty good, and I like Marauders.
I'm catching up. I'm halfway through catching up on Marauders at the moment, and yeah, really, really liking that. I'm looking forward to Excalibur.
Yeah, I like Excalibur a lot. I think Kitty Pryde's character is pretty like all over the shop these days, but she's kind of one of those blank characters that you can do whatever you like with a little bit.
Yeah, so, definitely.
But now she has fucking knuckle tattoos, man. She's cool now.
Oh man, I haven't gotten up to that part yet.
No, so sorry.
I haven't read X-Force yet, or Hellions, or any of the solo books. So Wolverine and Cable. Should I read those? Maybe I will.
Cable's good.
I definitely will. Cable's good? Great. Who's writing it?
Cable's good. I don't know.
If you like it
Phil
so much.
Phil Noto's doing art.
Name five of Cable's albums.
Number one, I miss my dad. Number two, I miss my child. Number three, the future sucks. Number four, my muscles are big. Number five, which pouch did I put that in?
Perfect.
Bam. That's all I know about Cable.
Oh, it's Jerry Duggan, who's writing Marauders as well. There you go.
Consistent.
Jerry Duggan, Phil Noto. Oh, wow, that number one issue looks excellent. Yeah, cool. I'm definitely going to read Cable. No surprise to anybody listening. I'm an idiot. Yeah, but Ten of Swords was great. Like you said, the X-Men pocket of Marvel Comics, it's really, really good at the moment. It's really strong.
Yeah.
There's no huge weak points. I feel like they cancel all the miniseries that aren't received very well. And there's only been
they
one
sure
or two
do.
Of those so far. but yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm glad I'm reading it too. That is it for our X-Men Pocket, an ongoing segment that will pop up all the time now that I'm reading every single X-Men issue. But you also read a book that we talked about last week, but it's about featuring a character that you famously aren't interested in at all.
I have no interest in this character at all, but the cover
yes,
was very
you keep
nice.
Coming back. Yeah, all right, sure. So you read Iron Man number one, written by Christopher Cantwell with art by Cafu.
The main
I
reason,
really loved that first issue.
Yeah. The main reason I picked it up is because I like Christopher Cantwell so much. I think he writes really smart, interesting books. I really like his Doctor Doom series, which I thought was a mini-series, but is actually ongoing. And that continues to be good at Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Issue 7 of that came out last week, and that was good too. But yeah, I thought I'd pick up issue 1 of Iron Man. I like Cafu. Although someone had a go at me on Instagram and said that it's like it should be pronounced C-A-F-U because it's like his initials, but on the Marvel website
oh, cool.
It says Cafu, so I'm just going to say Cafu.
Cafu.
Suck it.
How did someone have a go at you on Twitter? Did you release an audio clip of you saying it?
No, on Instagram, I put up a reel because I'm very contemporary.
Who are you?
On the King's page, not on my own page, okay. For Christ's sakes. And it was just me flipping through it, and I just go, yeah, Iron Man by Christopher Cantwell and Cafu. He's back, baby! That's all I said, and someone was like, it's actually pronounced someone, blah, 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 blah.
Someone cancelled you.
Yeah, I've been cancelled, guys. Thanks for having me.
No more reels.
Probably not, knowing me. I thought it was really good. I thought this was a great, like, a strong voice for Tony. I like him sort of trying so hard to please people, and I like the kind of like social media kind of bringing him down.
Yes.
I thought it was like a good use of that, good use of like current technology. But I thought it was good, like cool retro armor, cool back to basics Tony trying to not be such a weapons manufacturer or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Bit introspective. I liked it.
Lowering the stakes a little.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hellcat's there.
That's great.
So Christopher Cantwell's
now
writing...
Yeah, I will continue to read it.
Doctor Doom and Iron Man. What do you reckon? He kills Iron Man. Doctor Doom takes up the mantle of Iron Man. Sound good?
And Iron Man and he gets handsome. They fix his face. This is great.
What does Doctor Doom's face look like in Marvel Comics at the moment?
I don't know. I think it's
probably
messed up.
If I Google
Doctor
Doom face 2020.
Yeah, see what comes up.
Okay.
It's going to be, oh man, if only I could remember his name. Who's the dude who played Doctor Doom in the original movies? Someone McMahon? What was his name?
No one knows.
But he was in Charmed.
Fuck. There's not really. He's wearing his mask in all the pictures. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Pretty much.
There's a. There's a Marvel Legends Doctor Doom action figure, and his face is super fucked up. That's fun.
I don't really know why anyone would want that on their shelf.
Well, you can put the mask on, but if you take it off, fucked up face. Fucked also, up face. You definitely live with someone who would love that on their shelf.
I know. And I also used to have a Darth Vader figure.
Oh, really?
Fucked up face. Yeah. You could, like, spin his head around.
I had that too. It was a KFC toy.
No, I didn't have that.
Okay, I had a KFC toy where it would, like, you like pushed a trigger. It was like it was just a sculpt of Darth Vader's face, and you pushed a trigger and pushed it a bunch of times, and his face would spin around, and then like hit the helmet would pop open, and then his fucked up face would be inside.
That's so weird.
KFC,
delicious chicken. I like Iron Man. Iron Man, I will continue to read.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Iron Man good. X-Men good. Image Comics, what are your thoughts?
Good. Let's find out.
So I have been, I caught up on the first three issues of Firepower, which is written by Robert Kirkman and Chris Samnee. It does the art, and Chris Samnee is the best. So because of his involvement alone, I loved these issues. But yeah. I loved the prequel trade that they released for this series. And I like Firepower, the series. So basically, this is it's essentially like Robert Kirkman telling an Iron Fist kind of story, where you have a guy, you know, who goes to travels to the depths of the Chinese mountains or wherever and learns kung fu from an old man. But then he's basically then it cuts into the future, and he is now living in America. He has a wife and kids, and a dark spot in his history that he doesn't talk about. I think his wife does know all about his past, so that's good. But
yeah.
I'm kind of over, like, uh-oh, hope the superhero's family doesn't die kind of books.
I'm
a little like, yeah, it's a good version of one of those stories, but I don't know. I'm hoping that Robert Kirkman just goes, fuck it, the kids have kung fu powers now too.
Well, that's kind of what it seems like. He's like the thing. One of the things that I really like about it, because when I read the prequel book, I was like, oh, yeah, like this is beautiful. So I like it. But it's a bit of a paint by numbers, like fish out of water, sort of Asian American goes to Asia and has to like
the Chinese mountains,
the Chinese mountains, as they are famously known, and learn kung fu. But now that it's kind of, you know, he's living this kind of idyllic white picket fence Midwest American life with his like sexy cop wife and, you know, children. His children aren't sexy.
Sexy cop children.
Just regular sexy cop children. His regular children. But I like that it's kind of bringing that world there. Like it's now like the ninjas are the fish out of water in Midwest America. And I like that his wife is involved in what's going on and he's trained her and now he's training the children. I think that happened in issue 3 where he's like, I need to train you guys more. And the kids are like, oh, dad, we hate kung fu. Okay. But I think it's like it. they secretly love it. I'm hoping it's going to be like a cool family kung fu team adventure. That's what I hope for this book. But I mean, whatever happens, I'm on board. It's good fun. The characters are sort of well fleshed out, and Chris Samney's just the best. Like I would read anything Chris Samney does. He could put out like a book of hate speech, and I would still read it. Probably not.
Very bold of you to say.
I'm very bold.
I don't agree with anything in here, but it looks wonderful. 10 out of 10.
It looks gorgeous.
But yeah, I like it. I wish I liked it more. But I think I might in turn come to like this more. Like, it's by no means bad. It's a very, very nice, comfortable read.
And it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Yeah, it's very comfortable. I agree with that. It's not
It's a very well-drawn pair of track pants.
It sure is, man.
So also from Image and also from Robert Kirkman, having read all of The Walking Dead, including the surprise finale that came out last year, I picked up a book that came out a couple weeks ago called Negan Lives, written by Robert Kirkman.
It was very funny how they did that. They were like, surprise, Walking Dead is finished. Surprise, Walking Dead is back.
It's Robert Kirkman and Charlie Adler, the Walking Dead team who did, I mean, obviously Charlie Adler didn't start on the book, but he did the bulk of the series on art. And Negan was like a cult favorite character and the primary antagonist for 50 or so issues, who then stuck around until the end of the series. I believe he was only introduced in the TV series that I'll never ever watch a second of in my life. I believe he was introduced maybe a year or two ago, but Negan survives the finale of Walking Dead, and this is a series that catches up with Negan, he kind of is still. So you know he was in love with, like, he referred to his baseball bat by a woman's name, which we then learn is the name of his dead wife.
What a beautiful tribute to his beautiful wife.
Yeah, that's right. He beat the shit out of so many humans and zombies with his wife's namesake.
That's what she would have wanted.
But yeah, so this basically catches up with Negan. He's still like talking to his dead wife all the time, and like, you know, visits where he buried, I guess, a baseball bat that's meant to represent her, and maybe the baseball bat that also was destroyed. But so basically this sees a bunch of people come after him, just because it's still a shitty world, the Walking Dead world. People are still robbing people and killing them, and no respect for human life. And we see a girl try to seduce Negan. He's living alone, and then turns out she is with some other dudes who plan to rob Negan. And after leading zombies to kill the dudes that are trying to kill him and rob him, Negan asks the girl who was trying to seduce him, hey, do you want to like hang out with me and come on an adventure? Don't you want to see what happens next? And I guess he's going to go to the hospital where his wife died.
That's a good adventure.
It was a strange issue, but yeah, like okay, sure, it's a Negan book. It could have been way worse.
Yeah. Sounds fine. Sounds largely fine. Yeah. If you like that sort of thing.
I was on hey, Kirkman is in like an amazing Renaissance period, given that like I didn't like a lot of his books for a few years, but I love Die Die Die, and I've enjoyed Firepower, and I thought the finale of The Walking Dead and Invincible were both pretty strong, and this was just fine.
Yeah. Can't all be classics.
By no need. But yes. So you read the return of a series that we have loved on the podcast many, many times. It's called Headlopper. It is written and drawn by Andrew McLean, and it comes out quarterly. And this was the 13th issue at the start of the third miniseries in the Headlopper universe. Tell me about it.
I honestly feel like this could be the strongest Headlopper, like, I mean, I think I always feel like that in the first issue, and Headlopper is always, it is consistently excellent, but I enjoyed this issue so much. I think I'm going to pick it up in single, this story arc, because it is like beautiful to look at. Like, the colors are really exceptional. His art, I sort of think of Headlopper as being very consistent, but I was looking through the first story arc, and his art's actually much more sophisticated, and the way that he draws Norgal and stuff is much, much more... Like, it's just changed a lot in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I reread the first Headlopper trade, and I actually miss the simplicity of some of the character designs of that. I loved, like Norgal, the main character. Like, if he's in the distance, he's just, like, got, like, a line on his face, like, you know, to represent his eyes. Like, I love that kind of simplicity in the designs. But, no, I'm with you. Like, it is impressive how great the character designs have gotten. And the colours by Jordi Belair do indeed pop.
Yeah. So I really think if you haven't read Headlopper before, this is a great place to start. Like, there are ongoing characters, but it's the start of a new story arc, and you'll definitely be able to figure out what's going on. It's sort of like a fantasy, action-adventure fantasy monster book. And this is just the start of another quest. Start of another quest for Norgal and Agatha, the Witch's Head, and their new friend, the Thief Lady, as they quest for the fabled Mulgrid's Stair. So I love that. I love sort of a team of misfits kind of trying to find something which is supposed to be mythical, not real. It's a good fantasy trope, and I like it. And this is exceptionally beautiful to look at, I think.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, this is the exception to my mostly blanket hatred of the fantasy genre. I love Headlopper.
It's very, very good as far as fantasy goes.
There's a lot of blood. He has a big sword. Possibly it'll be stolen by the X-Men. Well, that'd be great. Headlopper enters the X-Men universe. I'd trust Hickman with that.
I would. Yeah. But I'd need Andrew McLean to draw it all.
Yes, definitely. Actually, man, an X-Men book drawn by Andrew McLean would be so good.
I would love for him to draw literally anything. Another person who anything they will do, anything they do, I will read. Did you read Apocalyptico? Is that what it's called? Apocalyptico?
Yeah, I really like that. That's really fun. Obviously, he's come a long way since that's one of his earliest comics, but it's a lot of fun, that book. He did a few pages in some Thor issues or annuals as well that were quite good.
Yeah.
I like that he's pretty consistent with Headlopper. It's a phenomenal story and so good. I've got that on order at King's. And in fact, if you want to read any of the books that we talk about on this podcast, you can find them all at King's Comics, which you can go online, kingscomics.com, or head to their beautiful store in Sydney, the address of which is...
283 Clarence Street.
I'll never remember.
Right near Town Hall Station.
Perfect. So what have we got next on this little old list? We've got some books that you read, Siobhan. We have A Map to the Sun by Sloane Leong.
Yeah.
I think Connor reviewed this on one of Connor's episodes recently.
Possibly, but I'm going to review it again. It's by Sloane Leong, who, what else has she done? I should have looked this up before. But she's like completely brilliant, done a lot of comics for Image. This is a kind of YA book in the kind of vein of like Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me, in that like it's very... like the color palette's very important. It doesn't necessarily go for a traditional color palette. It's very like emotive, but it's not so much about romance, which I really like. It's kind of more about friendship. And it's about these girls who start a basketball team, even though none of them are, only one of them is especially good at basketball. And the rest of them just kind of join, and they have to fight against, you know, resources being taken away from them for the boys' team, the sort of apathy of their teammates, apathy of the school and people around them in general, whether like, you know, why are they even spending time doing it? But it's just really, it's a really lovely book. It's very sort of quiet most of the time, but then these kind of big, impactful, exciting basketball games in the middle. But the characters just felt incredibly real and fleshed out. So it's like proper teen friendships, proper emotions, and these girls have like the kinds of problems that kids really have. Like, you know, they live with, one of them lives with her grandparents because her mum died. One of them, she has to work in her dad's store all weekend. One of them is really insecure about her weight. There's all these real, real problems that sort of kids, especially from like low socioeconomic backgrounds, have, and just dealt with in a very sort of real, honest, not pitying way. Like, they sort of feel like real people the whole way through. The only issue I had with it is that every now and again, there's a couple of characters who have quite similar appearances, and it's a little bit tricky to know exactly who is who in the moment. But, you know, you can figure it out contextually. But I think it's, like, I think it's beautiful. I think it's about a beautiful sort of story about female friendship, teen friendship, also basketball and surfing. And I really loved it. I thought it was beautiful. I love Sloan Leong. I love basketball.
Sloan Leong's previous comic that we reviewed a lot of on the podcast was out through Image. It was called Prism Stalker.
Yeah, that's it. And you know, it was something cool to do with, like, crystals. It was cool. This is much more linear and easy to understand, but with quite similar themes, I would say.
Yeah, cool. Fantastic. The other book, we're about to enter a manga section, so we've got to get these Western comics out of the way, but you've got one called Goblin Girl.
Yeah, this was really cool. This is one that the lovely Nate picked up from our local library, and it is by it's a Fantagraphics book by a cartoonist who I believe she's like...
Moa Romanova.
Yeah, Moa Romanova. She's like European. She's from somewhere in Europe. But so I'll read the... It's like a semi-memoir, I think. I think it's sort of based on her experiences. But it says, a dating match goes really wrong in this troubling, funny, graphic memoir. Things seem to be looking up when Moa, broke, depressed, and living in a squat above an old store, matches with a very famous celebrity on a popular hookup site. Not only does the 53-year-old man like her, he also immediately validates and motivates her in a way that not even her therapist does, even offering to help financially support her artistic ambitions. However, Moa soon discovers that there are strings attached. It is totally brilliant. If you find this anywhere, it's a big, beautiful hardcover, gorgeous colors, really cool art style, very, very sort of graphic. Not like sexually or violent, but like the style is quite sort of poppy, if that makes any sense. But it's also like it's very relatable for a lot of young people, I assume. I've never done like online dating or anything like that, or like Tinder. But I imagine that that's what it's quite like. and the kind of relationship between like the older mentor who says he doesn't want anything sort of romantic or sexual out of the relationship, but still puts these kinds of limitations or expectations on her. I thought it was really, it's really sophisticated for her first ever graphic novel. It's fucking incredible. Like, this is obviously someone to really keep an eye on if any future books of hers are translated into English. Mm-hmm. But I really highly recommend it. If you like kind of slice of life, comics about like sort of real stuff, I really rate it. Goblin Girl by Moa Romanova.
Excellent.
Highly recommended.
Yeah, I love the Fantagraphics books where it's like, oh, this person could either like design fonts for a living or
yes,
do a highly personal story in graphic novel format.
Yeah.
And this is the path they chose.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I've sorted through. I've officially upgraded all of my cardboard short boxes to those tough plastic ones.
Oh, congratulations!
They're really, really good. They're way heavier, but I also don't have to worry about like water getting into them from below, which is a constant fear of mine. as someone who keeps their comics on the floor,
right? Okay.
But yeah, I found like my like Fantagraphic singles collection. That's like all my oldest comics that I got when I was a teenager were all Fantagraphics, which is hilarious and telling of me.
I know. But, I like how like sophisticated your tastes were as a teen. And then you were like, no, I'm going to read superhero comics and Mahjong manga.
The hero's journey. But yeah, I'm just amazed at like how many, like these are issues of comics that I would have read like 100 times and then never read anything else by that same author again.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, just like one single issue. I have like so many like weird alternative comics, the bulk of which I bought from Kings. They used to have like a very small alternative section, and that was the only section of Kings that I would go to when I came in. I would just avoid all the superheroes and everything. I'd just be like, oh, yeah, here we go. This tiny little section with the weird comics. These are my comics.
I'm not a nerd. I like cool comics.
Yeah. I mean, I like comics that are depressing and beautifully
have a lot of dicks in them.
Have very unique fonts.
That's what I want.
So let's move into the manga zone.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a new series that started in Shonen Jump that is tremendously stupid, and I think you would like it. It's called High School Family Kokosei Kazoku. It is by Ryo Nakama, who has done a gag series. Basically, it's a gag comic. It's a series about a high school student who, on his first day of high school, sees that his dad is wearing the same school uniform as him, and then learns that his dad has enrolled in the same high school as him because he never went to high school, and it's a long time regret of his. And then he's like going, "What, Dad? You can't go to my school." And then his mum says, "Don't be so rude to your father." And then she's also wearing a school uniform. Turns out she's enrolled in high school as well. So has his little sister and their cat.
Great. So it's great.
This very, very silly gag manga about a boy who is like mortified by his parents, who are also trying to like have their first year at high school as well. And it is really well drawn. It is like just that perfect kind of silliness that like gets a chuckle out of me. My son Archie is 6. Fucking lost his mind at how funny the first issue was.
Like
when the cat shows up in the school uniform, he was like was honestly weeping. So like a great silly
That's a
manga.
Great review.
Yeah, totally. A great silly manga to introduce to a kid. I'm sure the first volume of this is maybe 6 months away, maybe even longer for us English speakers. But if you have the Shonen Jump app and you're looking for something to read in between new issues of One Piece and Chainsaw Man, definitely check out High School Family Kokosei Kazoku. It's four or five chapters in, and I've like dabbled with a lot of Shonen Jump like gag strips. I haven't really liked any of them besides the ones that Akira Toriyama wrote. But I love this. I think it's really, really funny, like kind of sweet, and just like doesn't need to take up much space in your brain afterwards. It's just like this, like, you know, it's the equivalent of like a peanut strip or something like that.
Yeah, cool.
Big recommended on this one. I think you in particular, Siobhan, would love it.
Yeah, I'll check it out when it comes out.
Also, we are very close. I think quite soon the first volume of Chainsaw Man comes out.
And I have heard a lot about that on the internet.
God, it is good. Lately, I mean, it starts out as like a fairly crass, very horny shonen series about a kid with a devil, a demon inside him, a demon who he can like summon a chainsaw demon, so his body starts sprouting chainsaws.
Good.
And, but the most recent chapters have just gotten so bonkers. And so the first chapter comes out next month, and first volume, sorry, comes out next month. If you want to buy it in physical, the cover is phenomenal. But just know that as bizarre as the first five or so chapters are, it quickly becomes like one of my favorite shonen series currently being published. It's overtaken One Piece as the every Monday when the new chapters go up, Chainsaw Man is the first one that I read now.
Whoa.
Which is pretty bonkers, but that's how captivating and crazy it is. It's very, you have no idea what's going to happen next. So very
it
looking forward
so
to
weird.
You catching up on it.
Yeah, I want to check that one out.
Catching up on it as slowly as possible. so let's move over to two books by two mangaka that we love on the series. We have the latest collection of spooky stories by Junji Ito, which is called Venus in the Blind Spot. And
Did you read it?
I've read some of it, and I've got both of them here just to prove to you that I have this. Here's Mujirushi, nice. Which is The Sign of Dreams, which is the latest book to be translated by the author of 20th Century Boys and Monster and Pluto, a lot of manga that has been Siobhan's, like, you know, biggest series that she's championed on the podcast that I finally read this year and loved. Naoki Urasawa is the name of the writer and artist. And yeah, Mujirushi. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Junji Ito.
Hell yeah.
Venus in the Blind Spot. So this is another collection of his short stories. So it's got some written by him, one that's even like a bit It's like kind of almost like an autobiographical one. And then some adaptations of stories by Rampo Edogawa. I thought it was Edogawa Rampo. But one of a couple of his stories as well.
Yep.
Translated and adapted. And I loved this. I loved this collection. I thought it was like a really excellent collection. Really, I mean, spooky stories. Very spooky stories the whole way through. I really enjoyed the Edogawa Rampo ones. So weird. Have you read the one about the human chair?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm super, super
and then
weird.
Also some just classic Junji Ito, like the I'm so excited to read the Junji Ito story that has the "This is my hole."
Yes, so this
it
is
was made
most,
for me.
The most famous Junji Ito story that I think people wouldn't even realize is by this guy because it became a meme. It's called The Enigma of Amagara Fault. And so this is finally the first time it's been like officially translated and released for Western audiences. It opens with like, basically there's a series of rock formations that people are gathering up in because in the rocks you there is the body shape for like everyone's body, their perfect hole that you can that only your body can fit inside perfectly.
And people become obsessed with the hole and they have to go in their hole because the hole was made for them. And then something terrible happens.
Yeah, it has like a insane finale. Like, you know, he's so good at the final frame.
There's like a specific like physical feeling I get reading Junji Ito books. And it's like a kind of uneasy sinking in the pit of my stomach. But I'm so obsessed. I love it so much. My son also kept like... I mean, like, my 100% my bad for reading it around him, but I kept like reading it and then noticing that he was like looking over my shoulder. I'd be like, no, slam.
Yep.
Tilly
knows.
So like unsettling.
When all I did for 2 weeks was read Junji Ito books, Tilly would come up to me like, "Are you reading another scary book, Dad?" And I'd be like, "Yes, I am." She's like, "Okay, I won't look at it, Dad. I'm just gonna sit next to you and not look at it."
Does she actually want to be spooked? Like, is she that? She seems like a bit of a adventure kid. Like, she wants to kind of.
Yeah, but she's also like a bit more on the emotional spectrum.
Right.
So she's right. Tougher, but as soon as something does break her down, she's way more of like it's way harder to calm her down. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
she made the right call by not looking, I reckon.
Good.
Well done, Tilly.
Smart girl, smart girl. But yeah, I think if you're a Junji Ito fan, absolutely pick this up. If you're not, like if you've never read any of his books, I think this is a great introduction to his work as well. And it's so like, you know, it's just one volume, very accessible, just short stories. I love the short story format for his work. I think it's great.
Yeah, have you read the other short story anthologies that he's done?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I've read everything
Smashed.
That's been published in English. Smashed and Shiver.
Have you read No Longer Human?
No. That's the only that and I've never read Uzumaki. So
oh
I've got
god, they're like my
I know.
Yeah, they're the ones, man.
So I've definitely no longer human. Check those ones out.
I reviewed a last month with Connor, and it's a very dark, like maybe his darkest book. It's not like there aren't many moments of like classic Junji Ito horror in it. It's way more sinister because it's not written. It's him adapting one of the most famous.
Yeah.
Japanese books of all time, but I thought that was an incredible read, just very very grim.
I haven't picked it up because I knew he didn't write it, but I will.
Oh no, it's as good as everything else he's done, and he took a lot of liberties with the story and added a few things. And when you realize the story that he's telling, and it does become a little bit like, you know, every new chapter is a new horror being introduced. But they're just different kinds of horrors to what you normally see. And it has one of my favorite scenes that he's ever done where the main character is essentially like falling towards hell. And to stop himself from going to hell, he has to regurgitate all of his like fears or like indulgences. And it's so
gross.
Good. Yeah, it's gross. Of course it's gross, but it's wonderful.
Amazing.
Just an excellent scene. So over to our... Would you say that these are like your two favorite mangaka? Junji Ito and Naoki Urasawa, because they are definitely the writers who you tried to push me more than anyone else.
I've probably read more
Tezuka,
Osamu Tezuka, mm-hmm. And probably he and Urasawa would be my two faves. But I find it very difficult to pass up a Junji Ito book these days. He'd definitely be up there. And I don't read as much manga as you do these days, and I don't read as widely. But definitely any new Urasawa or Ito, I am definitely going to pick those up.
Look! Once you peel that Band-Aid off the wealth of mahjong manga, yeah. There is, you know, you can't stop.
I really want to read that ping pong one. I really want to read ping pong. Yeah. But the
you gotta
volumes
read
are
ping
so
pong.
Stinking expensive, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they're good. They're worth it though. Like, that's a beautiful collection.
Yeah.
I've got every book that Junji Ito has. Had published in the West now, and the final one that I was missing that I picked up the same day I got Venus in the Blind Spot was his cat diary, the Yonan Moo.
Yeah.
So I've got to read
Is
that
it cute?
As well. It's like I've flicked through it. Yeah, it's like funny, and it's basically it's autobiographical kind of like gag format where it's just stories about him and his cats, but there are some
Lovely.
Like moments of like imagined horror within it. So it's still very Junji Ito.
Good fun.
Mujirushi, The Sign of Dreams, a very like short Urasawa book, given the breadth mm-hmm. of his most famous works. All I know of this is the little girl on the cover, and is it set at the Louvre?
Some of it.
Some of it. So yeah, I think this was in part funded or in collaboration with the Louvre in Paris, and there are a number of mangaka who have done similar things. Like, I know the guy who did JoJo's Bizarre Adventure has done a Louvre book as well.
Cool. So it's about this little girl and her dad, and her dad's just like kind of a loser. He keeps trying to make it big. He keeps trying to, you know, do that one thing that'll be like the big score for him, and he'll finally make all this money. And he just keeps losing out. Like he. Someone tells him to go into production making masks of this new presidential candidate who hilariously is like this kind of Donald Trump looking woman. but then she kind of, and she's really like outrageous and keeps saying really outrageous things. And so she's like this big character. And so he starts producing all these like masks of her. But then she becomes really normal and no one wants to buy a mask of her anymore or something. And so he loses out all this money on that. And so he's really desperate. And then he starts following these like funny signs that he keeps seeing in the street. And he ends up meeting this cat, this sort of crazy, character. He's like this man, this really flamboyant, Japanese man who's obsessed with, France and everything French, and he thinks that the Louvre is amazing and all this kind of stuff, and he's got these big sticky out teeth, and you think he might be a art dealer, like he does what's it called, where you sort of fabricate famous paintings, whatever. You
know, sure.
He paints
counterfeits.
And so he comes up, yeah, exactly, he counterfeits paintings. So he comes up with this plan using this man and his daughter to steal a painting from the Louvre. And it's kind of, there's a whole other bunch of stuff tied in with that, and the reasons that he wants to do it are really interesting and weird, and it's not just about money and stuff. But it is nowhere near my favorite Urasawa book, but it's still really brilliant, and it's still got some great, really funny characters, really good relationship between the father and the daughter, the little girl's really brilliant. I thought it was really great. I loved it. There's something to do with like the character who has the sticky outy teeth, the kind of mastermind behind the whole thing. I think he's based on an established character from something else. So there were kind of levels that I wasn't necessarily understanding. Like, I think that there was some context that was maybe missing from my understanding, but still, it's super enjoyable. Super enjoyable. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, unreal. Cool. Yeah, again, this is another one on my pile. I'm like almost finished Monster. So,
oh, cool. That's a spooky read.
Yeah, it's so good. I went through a lull with it, and now I'm like absolutely adoring it again. It's a phenomenal series by Urasawa. But Mujirushi,
I
want to
reread it,
is...
but it's too scary. I struggle to read it, like unless someone's sitting next to me. You know?
Really? So I don't find it that scary.
You don't find it scary? Oh, I find it really scary, especially towards the end, because it's just like spooky kind of unsettling stuff.
I don't for me, it's like, oh, wow, he's introducing us to a bunch of new characters. Oh, no, he's going to kill all these new characters.
Everyone's going to die.
So you have one more book to get through here.
What was it?
No, that's it. Wow, shit, that was my books.
That's it.
We did it.
We did it.
1 hour.
We did it, you guys.
Of beautiful, wow. Serious issues. Siobhan, thank you for reading comics and talking them with them about me. To me.
Thank you.
Talking about comics.
With you, me. I hope. Not to you. Blah, blah, blah.
If you want to come and talk about comics with somebody else, including us, you can do so over at the Serious Issues Facebook group, which can be found at facebook.com/groups/Serious Issues Podcast. We do have a Patreon, which if you are able to, kick a few bucks our way. It has been very encouraging to see a few sign-ups recently. My phone's talking to me. It wants to be a guest. It's been really lovely seeing a few people sign up in the last few weeks. I've been trying to do at least 2, sometimes even 3 episodes a month, given all that's going on. It's been trying, but it's fun, you know. It's fun to read comics and talk about them.
Absolutely. And thanks to everyone for doing little fill-ins and stuff. Because I have no time.
Yeah, so I think we were going to hopefully get like one episode of me and Siobhan and then one episode with me and somebody else. So
lovely.
Look forward to 2 episodes a month minimum. Forget about that. And
we'll do our best.
I mean,
guys.
I'm reading all the X-Men comics again. So who knows? Maybe I'll just lock myself in a room and do solo episodes again.
Woo.
They were fun and not at all scarring. for the recorder or the listener. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. If you want to find Siobhan online and see her reels, go to at Siobhan CBG on Instagram Twitter. At Levdog, LEVDOWG. Thank you so much to King's Comics for supplying all the comics for today. KingsComics.com if you want to buy any of the series that we talked about today. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Adios.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.